to the Westlake Eye Specialist podcast series. The Westlake Eye Specialist podcast series is dedicated to discussing patient education and eye surgery technology for the benefit and learning of patients. By communicating new trends and state-of-the-art advancement in care, we hope to elevate our patients and their options for better eye health and surgical outcomes.
I would like to welcome everyone to the Westlake Eye Specialist podcast series. Today's guest is Dr. Zarmina Vindal, ophthalmologist from Austin, Texas. Dr. Vindal is joined in practice by Dr. Natalie Stanchu, Dr. Stanley Salney, and Dr. Michael Shapey. Westlake Eye Specialists are dedicated to excellence in patient care and also focused on bringing the most advanced technologies to patients for better visual outcomes. The topic of our podcast today is exploring the topic of MIGS for glaucoma treatment. It is also known as microincisional glaucoma surgery. The MIGS group of operations has been developed in recent years to reduce some of the complications of most standard glaucoma surgeries. MIGS procedures work by using microscopic-sized equipment and tiny incisions. While they reduce the incidence of complications, some degree of effectiveness is also traded for the increased safety. Dr. Vindal is here today to tell us a little bit more about glaucoma and how MIGS is helping our patients. Hi, Dr. Vindal. I know you're a well-established ophthalmologist in Austin, and you're dedicated to always bringing the latest technology to your patients. And this one is a special podcast because you've always had a passion for glaucoma since the day I met you. Can you tell us a little bit about your practice and how, in particular, you wanted to get involved with glaucoma?
Absolutely. You know, I'm fellowship trained in glaucoma. That means that after I studied general ophthalmology and ophthalmology surgery, I decided, in fact, to subspecialize in this particular disease. And it was a fascinating topic for me from the beginning because it can touch the lives of so many. You know, you can have a glaucoma patient ranging from 2 days old to 90 years old. And it is a condition that we have made leaps and bounds advancements in, and yet there's so much we don't know about how to regenerate an optic nerve, the nerve of the eye, which gets affected by glaucoma. So there's a lot of challenge there. And the other piece is that it really gives us a chance to have lifelong patients. And frequently in surgical subspecialties, you have patients, you do surgery, and they go on their way, and you won't see them again. Glaucoma patients are really with you for their entire disease process. And so it creates a really great way to have relationships with patients long-term. And it's been a very fulfilling part of our practice, along with, you know, all the other ophthalmology services that we offer.
Describe what happens in glaucoma, what makes up this, and why is this vision so vision-threatening? It's often called the sneak thief of sight. Can you tell us a little bit more about the basics of glaucoma first?
Sure. So glaucoma is an optic nerve disease. It's the part of the eye in particular that gets damaged slowly over time is the optic nerve. And it's a nerve just like any other nerve in the body. So you think about nerves getting affected because of other diseases. Well, they're permanently affected. You cannot regenerate a spinal cord. You can't regenerate an optic nerve. So this slow process of pressure created and put on the optic nerve is mostly genetic. Everybody has a predisposition usually of why they're going to get this while somebody else doesn't. And the most common way to get this optic nerve damage is as a result of eye pressure. So the pressure inside of the eye is too high, and the optic nerve fibers are pressed and stressed, and slowly over time they begin to get damaged. It's a silent condition, and the reason being that it doesn't hurt. You're not going to have any visual symptoms, even in the mild or even moderate stages of the condition. Your pressure can be elevated, and you don't even know it. And so this is why it's a tricky condition, whereas it can be slow progressing. At the same time, it can be going on for quite a while, and you just don't even know that it's happening.
So what types of patients are more at risk for this, and should they have regular eye exams as a result of being a lifelong patient like you described?
Sure. So definitely patients with family history. Anyone with a family history of glaucoma in their family should, in my opinion, get checked yearly more so than anybody else. It is a disease of older people more commonly. So, you know, increase in incidence occurs after the age of 50. There is one study, national, very large study that even showed that diabetics might be a slightly higher risk of getting the condition. Then there is a little bit of a racial predilection. So if an African-American patient has the tendency for glaucoma or a Hispanic patient, they're going to get a much more aggressive form of this condition than other people. And then finally, trauma can definitely predispose us to glaucoma. And chronic steroid use. So patients who've had to take prednisone for other conditions their whole life can develop eye pressure problems. So I think anybody who would be part of one of these categories should definitely get a regular eye exam.
Describe some of the advancements in glaucoma over the past 20 years. It used to be that patients had to take drops. Drops are hard to remember to take. And now all of a sudden mm-hmm. there's new things happening. It seems like a lot of new technology mm-hmm. breakthrough over the past 20 years. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I would say the two biggest areas in which we've had so much breakthrough are being able to image and look and find early glaucoma, number one. So it used to be that people would have to lose 20% or more of their optic nerve before the glaucoma would even show up. Or their pressure had to be super high before we could figure it out. Well, we really made some great advancements in being able to look for early onset optic nerve thinning with specific testing. And that can be found sometimes even when the pressure isn't that high, and certainly before people have lost vision. So that's one area. The second area is the area of surgery. And you're absolutely right that lasers and surgeries have really, really become a great option, whereas in the past we had extremely few and very risky surgeries, and we relied so much on eye drops. Now we have in-office lasers and these minimally invasive glaucoma surgeries or microincisional glaucoma surgeries with the acronym MIGS that are game changers.
So let's get into MIGS a little bit. Tell us, first of all, when I first heard about MIGS, it was in the context of cataract surgery. Mm-hmm. Tell us about the link between cataract surgery and MIGS devices.
Sure. So glaucoma surgery used to be standalone in that the way that you did the surgery was completely different than a cataract surgery. You had to make big incisions, lots of stitches. The surgery was 45 minutes long, you operated in a completely different part of the eye. Well, with MIGS, surgeons can now take advantage of the cataract surgery incision site. So while and when you go to have cataract surgery through the same micro incision without stitches and from the inside of the eye, these glaucoma devices can now be placed. So we're talking 5 minutes in addition to your normal cataract surgery time, as well as the recovery. The recovery is now more like the way a cataract surgery recovers, quick and fast, without a ton of complications. The final thing to remind people about is there are a number of MIGS surgeries that are actually only covered at the time of cataract surgery. So insurance is set up in a way that at least two of these MIGS surgeries cannot be performed at any other time except at the time of cataract surgery, which means that anybody, in my opinion, that has glaucoma and is about to get cataract surgery should make sure they're getting it with somebody that really knows everything and the ins and outs of these MIGS devices. Because if they get that cataract surgery without one, they may never be able to have the advantage of using that MIGS device again.
Do you have to have two different surgeons there to do this, or can it be done by one?
No. A person who is trained properly can be just as well-trained at putting in a MIGS device as doing the cataract surgery. So both can happen at the same time by the same person, as opposed to having to go to two different offices. So it's quite a benefit.
That's great. How has this microincisional glaucoma surgery evolved? I know MIGS has been out for several years. How has this evolved in your mind?
I feel that over the last 10 years, MIGS devices have become more and more sophisticated. Even the very first mid-surgery that I participated in. I was one of the first people in Texas to do this surgery, which is called canaloplasty, though it was much more sophisticated than older glaucoma surgery, still involved a larger incision. There still were a few, you know, potential risks of bleeding and super low pressure. That entire process of what was about 30 minutes with that surgery 10 years ago currently has turned into a 5-minute micro-incisional stitchless procedure. So the sophistication of these MIGS devices is phenomenal. And secondly, the number of options is also great because it really lets you tailor the treatment according to your patient. Everybody doesn't get the same exact procedure. In fact, now MIGS devices can be tailored to whether you have a mild case, a moderate case, or a severe case. To name a few, the iStent, the Hydrus shunt, the Omni device, and the ZenStent. And that's Zen spelled with an X, X-E-N. All of these devices and procedures all fall in the MIGS category, and we provide all of them.
Should a patient seek out to you in Austin for a second opinion? It seems like you've been really focused on glaucoma for most of your career.
I think it's a great idea if you are a glaucoma patient and the only thing you are being offered are the older conventional glaucoma surgeries, and I'll name them here so patients can be familiar. Those would be trabeculectomy and Ahmed valve, or valve in general would be the general name. If you are a glaucoma patient and these are the surgeries you're being offered, it behooves you to get a second opinion with a glaucoma specialist like myself, because there are such a vast array of options that are safer, quicker, with and much less invasive than those conventional surgeries. And they have their place too, and eventually some patients need those, but many patients can avoid these old or more complex surgeries by pursuing a second opinion with somebody who does MIGS.
What about SLT versus MIGS? Like, that seems to be an area patients are often confused about.
Sure, absolutely. SLT, or selective laser trabeculoplasty, is the name of the laser that I alluded to earlier that we do in office. The biggest difference is this is an in-office procedure. We are not going to the operating room. MIGS are very, very quick, but they are still put in an operating room setting. SLT is a quick in-and-out laser done in the office with no downtime. It is a great segue in between the time that a patient might have failed eye drops and before they consider MIGS. And the other nice thing about SLT is even after a MIGS device has been placed, you can still try it. So people should absolutely look into the laser as well and make sure that their glaucoma specialist has the latest type of laser that's available, and really think of that as an option. The other thing to point out with MIGS that I think is important is making sure that the MIGS is right for you. And we can touch on that for just a second as well, the fact that, you know, patients have glaucomas of all types. There's mild, moderate, and severe glaucoma. A device like an iStent or Hydrus is great for mild disease, but if you have a doctor that doesn't know their MIGS, they might try to do that for moderate or severe disease, and it's just simply not going to work. So there really needs to be a great algorithm and a doctor who is seasoned at doing every single kind out there so that they can match you and your disease with the appropriate MIGS device and go from there.
Well, thanks for clarifying that, and thanks for being so informative on our podcast today. Westlake,
absolutely.
And so is there anything else you'd like to add to the MIGS discussion today?
I think that the thing that I want to, you know, end the discussion with today is really to hit it home with our patients that screening early and being aggressive is the key to maintaining vision. We're all living longer than we've ever lived before. We're more active than we used to be, healthier. So we need our vision for a lot longer. And if there is a hint at all of any of the secondary conditions that we mentioned in your medical history or family history, get to a person who is an expert at diagnosing glaucoma early, and the second piece being if you ever need surgical treatment, explore every option that there is out there and make sure you're getting one that is the safest for you.
Well, thanks for spending so much time with us today on this podcast. Westlake Eye Specialist is dedicated to creating a very well-rounded glaucoma practice and would be happy to provide any patient with a second opinion. Thank you for listening, and we hope you enjoyed the podcast today.